Mr. Jackson Sinyanga. Stand on your feet and welcome him.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Only to the Lord belongs the glory. So we give him the glory and the credit for all that he's doing. Good morning, Harvesters. How are you doing? I want to thank God for what he's doing here, the work he's doing here and touching the region, touching the areas around you and globally. You have just an amazing heart for God. It's amazing. I can just sense that in worship. And because of what God has done through you, lots and lots of people are in the kingdom today. So thank you so much for loving God. And the reason you're doing that great is because you have a great pastor over you. He has trained you very well. And it's very easy to take things for granted sometimes. I have walked around this country. I've been in 40 states. I've spoken in the smallest churches in this country and the largest churches you consider large, and you see them on television, to God be the glory. And I have found out that lots of pastors are all over this country, and I've met many of them. But when you meet a pastor that has a heart to only do the will of God and to seek his face and to have a house of prayer, give you the opportunity to touch God in worship, with lots of seeker sensitivity going on around, you are blessed to have a pastor like that and a church like that. So, appreciate your friendship, appreciate your support and what God's doing here. Turn with me in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 26. It's not that I'm going to read now, but I just want you to go there because some of you might need a few minutes to get it. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that God is doing great things. I want to bring greetings from my beautiful wife, Eve. And she really wanted to be here today, and we couldn't find a babysitter. We are all together in Dallas until we go home in December. So we couldn't find someone to keep the kids for those couple of days. And she's looking forward to one day come and be here physically, because I tell her great things about harvest time. When I was here, you have always been generous and you blessed us, and you built houses for orphans, and they have been built. And we do exactly what we say. So all the money that we took from here, we built houses. We have now come to a tune of 100 houses we have built. So thank you. Thank you so much for making a difference. And the work continues. Advocating for these less privileged children is a work that will continue. And I want to take about 3 minutes, three African minutes, and talk about all of that. And please understand, I'm not using too much time. So, you know, lots of ministries will come and take 30 minutes talking about their personal love offering. I'm going to take 5 minutes to talk about something that directly has no benefit for me. I benefit nothing from what I'm sharing. I'm just advocating for these children. These kids, we are raising them as tomorrow's leaders. We are not warehousing them. We believe the best way to raise leaders of tomorrow is to touch children. And when they are vulnerable, then you get God's attention. Uganda is home to 32 million people as a population. 50% of those are under the age of 15. So unless we change that or touch the young people today, we don't have leaders for tomorrow. So let me show you just about our church a little bit, and then we'll talk about those kids. Okay, you've seen those pictures before. That's the front of our church. Okay, real quick, that's the front of our office right nearby the church, adjacent to the church. And that's the inside of the church. And 16,000 people, if you count heads and not hair. Okay, so actual number of people. Okay, and then the outside that cannot get in because of the influx. That's why we are looking for the stadium. We are still pursuing the stadium. It's something that we believe God is going to give us. Actually, he has already given it to us. The government is just about ready to find that out. So we are pursuing that, and it's not dead, it's alive and kicking, but in its own timing, okay? So those are the children we are touching. We are changing those kids, and they are out, they are scattered all over the place, okay? I want to preach more than I want to talk about this. So let's go quicker. These are the kids we are changing. And you've seen those pictures, some of you. And we are building houses for those. That's the sample house. And you build something like that. Actually, build several of those houses. That's the inside of the house, sleeping in mosquito nets. These are new pictures as of June. More houses. And, you know, you've seen them. You know, lots and lots of them. You know, kids and, you know, that is good. These are obviously Americans in Africa, and they are alive and smiling. That means you can come to Uganda next year and not die. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to join Pastor. He probably, we are working and talking and praying. He's going to come, and if you can bring 50 of you, business leaders, medical people, anything, any of, you know, just tell me who you are. I'll give you a place of ministry in Africa. Teachers, whatever. You know, we do that every year. So June and July, you know where you're going for mission trip. You don't have to pray about it. It's all confirmed. I have God's will for you. Okay. Now, look at this. These are the children. Children of Uganda. We just brought them to the orphanage. This is what happened. When you helped us build those houses, we built them. The houses, we are all finished. But before we bring in children, we have to find someone to sponsor the kids. So when we have the children, we have to make sure they'll have meals and education and medical. So we wait until somebody says, I want to sponsor a child. And if you do, we're going to get a child and put her in. But the houses, we are finished, ready to receive children. And the sponsors are not coming in yet. So we took it on ourselves by faith to say, let us bring in children before we get sponsors. We did not know what we were doing. So we joined 500 kids to the 500 we had. So we have 1,000 children today. You know how many meals we cook a day? 3,000 meals. We feed them hot meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 3,000 meals. You can only use your imagination, not your memory. There is nothing there. Cooking 3,000 meals is a lot. They get sick. Just use your imagination. Having three kids going back to school, it messes up your entire week of shopping and all that. Now, think about 3,000 kids. So, we need help. What we did, we've taken those pictures into individual pictures of those children, and we have created a profile. So, a child has a picture and a profile. And I'm going to ask you at the end of the service, as you get out, to go back and pick a child and help us sponsor these kids. You can sponsor them with only $60. Now, that is a little more than what you have used to. But we are doing more than feeding the children. We don't believe in warehousing children. We believe in raising leaders for tomorrow. So we give them everything that they need. So what we do, we build a house. And after building a house, we find 12 children and bring them in. And then after that, we find a widow that has no income or destiny and bring her into the house so that a widow raises the orphans in the name of the Lord. The widow finds an income, finds a destiny, and the child finds a mother. So when you sponsor this child, she will call you my American parent. They write to you, you write to them. So this is how you can sponsor a child. And actually, all of these are our pictures. You know, we did not go on internet and downloaded anything. So these are all our pictures. His name is called Mark Governor. He is from Portland, that guy. Okay, anyway, 3 meals a day will sponsor a child, and education, clothing, medical needs, school supplies, and a loving, healthy environment. This $60 also pays for the mother. We give her, you know, some kind of income so she can take care of other things. Okay, that's a mother you can see. Okay, ongoing relationship. Between you and the child. That's what you expect when you sponsor a child. Updates from your child several times a year. Progress reports like from the school. Pictures ongoing. It's a relationship. You write, she writes. And all of that. You want a girl? We have a girl. You want a boy? We have a boy. You want a girl but 8 years old? Yes, we do. Have him. You want a 12? We still have him. So no excuse. Come on, look hopeful. This is good stuff. This is kingdom stuff. So I brought 150 children. I'm praying that God will touch your hearts and be able to do that. Now, next. That is $60 a month. $60 a month can do all of the things we talked about. The reason is a little more than what you're exposed to is because we are doing more than just feeding the kids or feeding program. And we don't line them for meals. We don't address them as a team. We give them a family unit environment. And that, you know, we have a water purification system on the site. They drink out of the pure water. They, you know, we try our best to do something nice. So that will take care of her. And you know, you cannot take care of your child for $60, right? Next. Some of you say, you know what? I cannot do 60 because it's too much because of my status. No problem. You can partially sponsor a child by $30 a month and we'll find another one who will find the sponsorship to be partial, and then together you, $30, and him, $30, together can sponsor a child. Good? Good. Now, normally I say, got it, and you say, get it. I say, get it, get got it, and I say, good. Get it, got it, good. Okay, wonderful. So, next. This is the best, easy way. 3 minutes can sponsor a child. Pick up a child, fill up the form. You don't have to have the money. Some of you have already used the check you brought. So don't worry about it. Just go, fill up a card. You don't have to start today. Even if your November or October budget is all taken care of, you can just fill up a card and say, start my sponsorship in December. We can still do that. But you have to fill up the form and leave it with us. And you take a child, put her on the refrigerator, and go home and say, hey, I got a child. And your family can be extended today by one person. You sponsor 5 kids, I will even like you better. And when you come over in Uganda, it will be a big family reunion. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good. So I said all of that to give you enough time to find Leviticus. No, you're not that bad. Look at this with me. Leviticus 26. And I'm going to preach quick. I have 9 points. 9 points to make about this message. And I'm going to need miracles to happen to finish this. But they have happened before. But because I'm preaching in America, I have plan B. Because America is all about plan A and plan B. So I'll tell you about plan B if I don't finish this message. Leviticus 26. Verse number 9, the Bible says, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you and my soul shall not abhor you. In other words, I will not refuse you. I will walk among you and be your God and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. In what God is trying to say here, he's trying to say, don't worry, you're going to make it. That's good reading. I can just stop here and we say amen, go home. This is good stuff. Don't you like the reading? Check it out. I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you. How could you fail with such a promise? It is unacceptable for you to lift up your Bible and you say you believe in that word and be filled with the Holy Spirit and you say you have the power to pray in the name of Jesus Christ and that God's will is in my life and at the same time fail. It is unacceptable. If you love Jesus, you are already doomed for success. I scared you there, I know. You are already doomed for success. So you cannot but win in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So I'm going to talk about 9 ingredients on how to achieve the impossible. 9 ingredients on how to achieve the impossible. Because this is the whole chapter here. God is trying to say, I will deposit myself in you. I will be at your disposal. I will never refuse you. I will give you all that you need. Look at verse number 7. You will chase your enemies and they shall fall by the sword because before you. 5 of you shall chase 100 and 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. What is God trying to say? You will overcome. Don't worry about it. I got your back. Go girl. Go boy. That's what he's saying. Come on, look hopeful. I'm preaching good. If you play dead on me, I'm gonna play a funeral director. And nobody will have fun. But this is the best place to be in the whole world, in the presence of God. So how do you achieve the impossible? Number one, you have to learn, or you have to accept to work with God's favor. You have to accept God's favor in your life. In every event of the Bible where God took somebody and make him or her achieve the impossible, you see an incredible amount of favor released upon that person. You cannot achieve the impossible in the name of flesh and blood, in the name of 5-point programs, in the name of brainstorming, because you have some good espresso going on, because you've gone to Starbucks and now your mind is working. Starbucks coffee can take you so far, a good idea can take you so far, and a good friend can take you so far, but God will take you all the way. We need the supernatural power of God, and God, through his power, works in this thing I call favor. You see anybody achieving something great, you can see how the favor of God mapped up things for her. But before I forget, I want to give you this, harvesters. I want to give you this. God gave me a word, and I don't want to miss it. Write it down. It's not part of my preaching. I'm sorry I'm going back and forth. Proverbs 10, verse number 4 and 5. We were in worship and God gave me this word. And that's why I greet you as harvesters. Everybody say harvesters. Yeah, you are harvesters. And the Bible says here, he who sleeps in the harvest causes shame. God was telling me in worship that we are in a good time as a church. We are in a perfect time right now. The Spirit of the living God is moving over this community and is moving over lots and lots of people. We are coming to a time of two things: harvesting the dreams that God has given to you, but at the same time harvesting the dreams that God has given to us corporately. This is a word from the Lord. And God say your eyes must be alert. You must be right there on the cutting edge. You must be able to go in a place called God's will, because God wants you to harvest your God-given dream. Listen to me. I pray that God will empower you today to contend for every unfulfilled promise that God has given to you. You're going to pursue those dreams like no other time. I'm praying that there will be speed released in your spirit, in your soul, and a new passion to believe God that every promise he made to you, you can accomplish it, you can go after it, you can contend for it, you can fight for it, you can believe for it, you can pray for it, and you can harvest it in Jesus' name. Come on, harvesters. You're going to harvest the dreams that God has given to you in Jesus' name. But corporately, Pastor, we are going to harvest the vision that God has given to us here. I know you are building, and we are not going to be shaky, shaky, or wimpy, wimpy in Jesus' name. I know there are things that God's doing. This is not about building a church. It is beyond a building. It's about harvesting a city, harvesting a community, harvesting the region in Jesus' name. God is giving you a high platform of influence so that the devil will lose big time and God will win the results and the rewards of his suffering in Jesus' name. So don't even think where we are just doing whatever we can, just get a few more dollars together. It's beyond dollars. It is beyond money. It's beyond brick and mortar. It is kingdom. It is souls that is at stake in Jesus' name. So I pray that God will strengthen your hand in Jesus' name. Those that have given, continue to trust God. You will give more in Jesus' name. And don't worry about where it's going to come from. He's going to give you extra more so you can give more. So there's no deficit. You don't like that. So I'm going to say it again then. Strengthen yourself. Good to see you, friend. Strengthen your hand. May God strengthen every passion. May God increase your ability in Jesus' name. As God gives us a chunk of vision, I pray that you as an individual will take a big chunk, a big bite of that chunk of the vision that God has given to you. Everyone must take a bite.
And I'm praying that you have a big appetite. That you don't just say, no. Go for it. God is with you. And this vision shall come to pass. And that building shall come to pass. And souls shall come to pass. And lives will be changed in Jesus' name. You are in a good time, harvesters. Let's go harvest this city in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So I speak to you, my pastor and my friend, out of Psalms 128, verse number 2. It shall be well with you. With the plans that God has given to you, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with your family. It shall be well with those children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you lay hands on, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. How many know that you receive the same anointing and the same grace that comes upon your pastor? So I say that to him because I'm saying that to you in Jesus' name. It shall be well with you in Jesus' name. And people will look at you and say, look whom the Lord has blessed. Look whom the Lord has raised. It shall be well with your finances. It shall be well with your family. It shall be well with your work. It shall be well. Whoever is standing before you or against you will fall because of you. Because God will rise up and the enemies will be scattered. It shall be well with you in Jesus' name. Children, in the place of your education, at school, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. When you walk in the dark, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know where you turn, the presence of God will be with you and it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. For those that are looking for a breakthrough, for those that are looking for a new season, for those that are looking for a penetration into something new, I pray in Jesus' name, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. Do you receive that? In Jesus' name. Now that was not on my time. That was on your time. Everybody say favor. Favor of God is there always to be able to help you accomplish the impossible. Look at this lady, young lady called Esther. Esther never had anything significant. She was not even aware of her destiny until the favor of God fell upon her life, causing the king to like her. What is favor? Favor is the conscious or the awareness that you have that I do possess an added advantage or an uncommon advantage. Favor will make you know I am not all by myself in what I'm doing. Favor makes you realize that if there are 10 people lining up for the same application or making the same application, I possess an uncommon advantage. I am not part of the general. No, I am not part of the general. I'm not general population. I am unique. Not weird, but unique. I'm singled out by God. My name is mentioned in heaven every single day by the angels. Everywhere I am, there God is. I am the beloved of the Lord. Some of you have to change the way you think about yourself. Some of you think that God has called you in the kingdom and has given you a gift of struggling. And you even brag about it. How you doing? Struggling. And you think that God doesn't like you and that he's about to find another mistake you're going to make and he's going to push you in the corner and beat you as flat as a tortilla. You call it a tortilla, right? It's not right. There's no why in that word. It's a tortilla. You need to change that. That's a revival I'm going to bring in America. Tortilla. So you guys have an accent. You call it a tortilla. But when God looks at you, man, he's bragging all day. He looks down and says, I like that dude. I want to bless him. Man, I cannot help. I just want to look at him every single day. You are the apple of his eye. The favor of God came upon Esther and the king liked her. That's what the favor does. It makes people like you. Some of you are unlikable. So you need a favor of God upon your life. Have you ever walked into a building and somebody begins to, you know, they were talking and when you walk in, they all stopped talking.
And people say, I've been doing good until she came. You need the favor of God. I want you to, when you walk into the building, the lights come on. Everybody smiles. She's here. He is here. Why? The favor of God is upon your life. When you go for an application, the gentleman makes a decision as you walk in. I don't care how she's going to do this interview. I'm going to give her this job. Why? The favor of God is upon your life. When the favor is there, even when people try to stand in your way, they ended up promoting you. Can you imagine Goliath was about to probably scare everybody, and it became the biggest opportunity that David needed. You don't believe that. Okay, let's go to another thing. Favor comes, look at Joseph, despite all the odds, he was sold by his brothers, he went to prison, God's favor was upon his life, and he became outrageously successful. I like that. Outrageously successful. Some of you, God is going to make you outrageously successful. Can you take that blessing? Outrageously. I'm praying that you will become outrageously successful. You know why? Because you know what to do with money. You're going to buy a couple toys. Of course, I know that. But at the same time, you're going to put more in the kingdom of God. And that's why you have to be successful. You need to be successful. You gotta be successful. You ought to be successful, because we want to touch as many people as possible in Jesus' name. So I'm praying for that outrageous successful anointing upon your life. May your business be outrageously successful. May your practice be successful in Jesus' name. Outrageously. I thought I'm preaching good. You should do a fair thing and say amen. If you don't, I can change the subject and talk about the end time and scare you. You will become outrageously successful. May God single you out among the family members. May God single you out among the whole building. May God single you out among the lines of the businesses in Jesus' name. If you are in insurance, yours will stick out louder and higher. If you are in sales, God will give you more sales to close in Jesus' name. Outrageously successful in Jesus' name. I pray that God will make you outrageously a successful mother. Outrageously a successful father. Outrageously a successful student in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Daniel, the favor of God came upon him. I'm already run out of time. What do I do? Keep going. I might only be the one preaching for 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes American time. Okay, can I? Daniel, you can go through the whole thing. Were thrown in the lion's den. What happened? The favor was there. The lions were starved for 3 days. When they expected, after he lands in the den, they were going to consume him as a hot cake. But because of the favor, the lions decided, we are not hungry. We just want fellowship. And David was there in fellowship with the lions that are hungry, and nobody could touch him. No teeth could touch him. Why? The favor of God was upon him. David, he was marked by assassination by King Saul. King Saul even got off his throne, went after David and all the armies and all the every intelligence office and CIA and FBI of all those times, they were looking for this one man, not even a man, a boy. But the favor was upon him. They couldn't get him. They came close, but not quite close. They ended up in the same cave at one time, but they didn't go as deep enough as David was. What was that? The favor of God protected him and promoted him. He became the king in Jesus' name. What's happening here? The favor of God will take you to places you have never gone before. Raise your hand and receive this in Jesus' name. Lord, I release favor of God upon their lives in Jesus' name. Whoever needs favor to go to another level, whoever needs favor to do what they have never done before, I pray you release favor in Jesus' name. Favor of provision. Favor of healing.
favor of breakthrough. I speak favor over God's people today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. One more time, say, amen. Amen. Now, my 10 minutes have 8 minutes left. Let's go quickly. Write down quickly, please. Number two, I'm going to just mention this quickly. Maintain a prophetic praise. If you are going to do what you have never done before and you're going to achieve the impossible, you have to learn how to maintain a prophetic praise. Why? Because praise becomes a down payment for your next miracle. And some of you don't have any down payment for whatever you are trying to ask God. Why? Because in your mouth there is a lot of complaining. Fill your mouth with praise. We praise God for two things. Number one, we praise the Lord for what He has done already, because it's been a lot. How many know that God has been busy in your life? He's been busy blessing you. He's been busy healing you. Look at you. You have a smile on today because of the goodness of God. You are in your right mind. You have your right clothes on. You are styling. You came driving here. You are blessed. So you owe God praise. Some of you, you even use extra resources than others. You are a high maintenance Christian. And on your face, there is a word called extra grace required. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to your neighbor, so don't worry about it. So the angel that has been assigned over you is almost complaining. Would you assign me to somebody else? Because she is a piece of work. But despite all of that, God blesses you. God heals you. God brings He reminds you of His grace every single day. So you owe God praise. Let me ask you a question. Have you paid your praise bill lately? The bills are piling up every single day. And these are not monthly bills. No, it's not AT&T. These are daily bills. The Bible says, praise the Lord every day. You gotta praise the Lord for what He has done in your life. But also, praise the Lord for what He is about to do. We don't only thank God for what He has done. We thank God because of what we believe He has done that we have not seen yet. Right now is the perfect time to praise the Lord for our new building. Right now is the perfect time to praise the Lord for the thousands of souls that will sweep into this house in Jesus' name. Right now is the best time to praise the Lord for the many miracles that God will do in this house in Jesus' name. Somebody join me. Raise your hands up. Put your hands together. Let's praise the Lord. God, we thank you for the miracles that we see coming. Thank you for the things that you're about to do in our life. Thank you for the filling of the buildings 5 times a day. Thank you. Thank you for the building that you are building through our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. See, in the Old Testament, they never went in the battle praying. They went in the battle praising. Some of you say, after God has brought me out of this, I'm going to thank Him. That's a little too late. When the armies of Israel went to do an attack, they let praise and worship teams go first. So can you imagine being the enemy of Israel, looking at them coming into an attack, and instead of bringing in the weapons, they bring a praise and worship team. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning. And the ladies are waving the flags and they're all singing. I said, you must be crazy. I'm here and I'm about to kill you. You should be crying. Who is going to raise your kids, okay? How come you show up dancing? You must be crazy. Praise meant that, look, by the Spirit, we have already seen your downfall. Devil, you are already under our feet. We have seen your downfall and we're excited about it. That's why I am dancing. I'm dancing before because I know my God has already given me the victory. These two shall pass in Jesus' name. A miracle is mine in Jesus' name. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Praise told the enemy, look, I have not even engaged you yet, but I'm already dancing. Wait, when I bring in my weaponry, you are dead meat. Number four, is that three? I know, I'm just trying to check on you. Allow God to reshape you. This is going to be very quick. Allow God to reshape you. If you're going to do great things, allow God to reshape your life. The Bible says, God, you are the potter, we are the clay. And some of us, we outgrow a lot of things. Simple obedience, we forget to obey, we forget to do the right thing, and all of that. So God has to always trim us, sharpen us, so we are in the center of his will. And he has to do some repair work. Some of you need extreme makeover. But God is committed to us. But we don't like the process. The process is not that exciting. But the outcome product, woohoo, is good. Have you ever seen, let me say that you went and talked to the China cup, beautiful China cup. You know what I'm talking about? A cup, China. And you say, wow, you look so beautiful. And the China cup tells you, hey, you want to hear a story? I wasn't always like this. One day, I was a piece of dirt, a piece of clay. Forgotten, left out in the swamp. People would tread on me and they never cared. Nobody talked to me, all by myself, alone, all the time. But one day, this guy called the potter came and picked me up. And when he picked me up, he put me in his hands and began to squeeze me. And I told him, oh, easy. That's ouch. And I said, not yet. He squeezed me, and he began to get all the little small rocks that were mixed up with me, and he purified me. But he had to put pressure on me. And then after that, he threw me in the potter's wheel. Oh, I did not like that. Oh, I remember screaming. And I said, I'm dizzy. Get me off this. I don't care what you're trying to do. I don't like you. He looked at me and said, not yet. We went and screamed and spinned. And after that, he took me out. And I told him, oh, you scared me out there. Are we done here? And he told me, not yet. You know what he did? He threw me in the oven. Oh, I was hot. I was burning 500 degrees. I remember screaming, you are murderer. You want to kill me. Get me off this. I don't do heat. And he looked at me and said, not yet. And after that, he took me out. And I was looking for my exit after that. But he put me on a shelf. And after that, he brought a brush and began to paint me. Oh, that was nice. It was gentle. It was good. And I told him, okay, we can hang around on this for a while. No problem. I liked that experience. But after that, he threw me back in the oven. Oh! Anyway, long story short, I didn't like it. I called him all the sorts of names. And after that, he put me on the shelf, left me there for a long time to cool off, to dry off. I thought he had forgotten me. There was no work, no exercise, no activity, no nothing. I was all by myself, and I thought he doesn't like me anymore. I told you he's not a good guy. But then after that, he brought a mirror, and he held it against me. When I saw myself, woohoo! I have become a beautiful china that everybody wants to drink from. Visitors come, and all these look at me, and they touch me and say, wow, this is beautiful. Where you got it from? If a child messes up with me, oh, the dad will come and say, if you break my china, I'll break your neck or something like that. Okay. Why? I am treasured. I am likable. I am beautiful. And I'm thankful that the potter loved me so much when I was nothing. He invested in me all the qualities that I have today. And because of that, I am here as beautiful. Some of you, you have to let that process go. Some of you right now, what you're facing is not the devil.
what you're facing is the process of refining. So before you can tell the devil, go, look deep in your spirit. I'm not talking to you. I told you, I'm talking to your neighbor. So I can see conviction building here. Lastly, and I'm going to go 1 minute. I think my 10 minutes are over. One more. Invoke a blessing on yourself. You can never accomplish anything great if you are all broken down inside. The level on which you can impact others is connected to the revelation that you have personally about who you are. If you're going to love the world, you're going to have to love you first. I don't believe in an American kind of thing that is extreme, me, myself, and I all the time. Okay? But I don't even believe the other one either. I am nothing. I'm going under. The sky is falling. The bottom is falling out. I think I'm dead meat. We have to come in the center. The Bible says the only way you can love the world is because you love yourself. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as you love yourself. So some of you think that God called you and gave you a powerful ministry of becoming a self-critic. You don't hate, you don't like you, you see yourself in the mirror, you will never look good, you will never do anything good. Okay, everybody's hair is good except yours, everybody's shoe is good except yours, you don't like your style, you don't like the way you do things, you don't like your execution level, you call yourself a procrastinator, you are opening cases after cases after cases against yourself. Stop it! You are not depositing anything in your spirit. It is time to change that. You have a world to change, and you can never change your world until you change you. And this is not God doing this. This, you're gonna have to do it yourself. So begin to deposit things in your spirit. That's what the Bible says. I have scriptures for all these points that I wanted you to follow up and read. But the scripture says in Isaiah 64 and, the reshaping is Isaiah 64 verse 8. Reshaping, 64 verse 8. But, the invoking of a blessing is Isaiah 65 verse 16. Isaiah 65, 16. He says that if anyone will invoke a blessing on himself, he will say, may the Lord or the God of truth bless me. What have you done on that? Have you ever, in the recent couple months, couple weeks, invoked a blessing on yourself? Invoking is not prayer. Invoking is invoking. There's a place you can pray. There's a time you can, intercede for the things that God wants to do in your life. And then you can step into a position of invoking. We are going to invoke a blessing on your life in Jesus' name. Now, some of you are complaining about everything. Oh, the pastor, I think he should be more loving. I called last week and I haven't got a response yet. Don't blame your pastor for your joy. I am not happy because, even the usher did not shake my hand. He just gave me the last tip of his fingers. Nobody is even taking me out for a long time. If nobody is taking you out, invest in yourself. Take yourself out. Don't blame your husband for your joy. Don't blame your wife for your joy. Oh, if these kids would behave better, I'll be more happy. No way. It is in you right there. So it's time to invoke a blessing on yourself in Jesus' name. If nobody takes you out, you take out yourself and have a beautiful evening. Put on your evening attire and find the best steakhouse in town. Now, don't do that every day because steak is not good for that. Just go and say, I feel good. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord. And go in the restaurant and ask for a table of two. You and the Holy Spirit. Can I sit by the window? Sit by the window and look at the beauty of this fall. Before you miss it. And just enjoy the evening. Go home and say, thank God. He made me special. And I'm special in his presence. This has been a great evening. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, some of you don't like that. You'd rather somebody takes you out. But the thing is, it's about investing in yourself. It's about putting positive things in your life. I'm not talking about positive message, okay? It's a positive whatever. Believe in you. Fix it yourself. Positive meditation produce positive results. No.
I'm talking about the deposit of God's word in your spirit in Jesus' name. It is time to invoke a blessing. I'm closing. When was the last time you laid hand on yourself? The Bible says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In other words, believers have the ability to carry forth a blessing by the laying of hands. So every time you feel agitated or on the edge, you are irritable quickly, maybe you need to deposit something in your spirit. Find a believer, it happens to be you. And find a hand, you're supposed to have a hand. And find a hand and a believer. In the name of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. The angels watch over me. Every single day God goes before me. He makes all crooked places straight. He leads me in the straight of the narrow way. I am the blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Jackson, you are the beloved of the Lord. May God arise on your behalf and all the enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. Everything you touch will be blessed, Jackson, in Jesus' name. God looks down on you with a smile and a favor in Jesus' name. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord. You have no cancer. You have no anger. No asthma, no high blood pressure. God is their healer. He is with you. God is smiling at you. The angels are surrounding you. Jackson, you are the blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that is better than just waiting for a phone call from somebody to encourage you. Or going and say, I hope there's something to watch on television. You flip and get demoralized. Put something in your spirit. Put something in your life. Invoke a blessing in Jesus' name. And when you do, the angels will be activated. Because they are all, some of you, your angels are there twinkling their thumbs. They have nothing to do. They are waiting for your command and your prayer. And it's not there. And God said, can you remind her to pray so you can send us? It's kind of boring around here. Of course, heaven doesn't bore. You know what I'm talking about. But the thing is, your angels want to go for work, to work for you. The power of God is available for your life. So let us invoke a blessing in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet, please, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes for just a second. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to these two things quickly. Number one, if you are here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, thanks for speaking God's word, but I do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you are visiting here for the first time, or you've been coming here for several times, but you do not have a personal relationship with God. And you say, you know what, if you can pray with me today, to fully give my heart over to the Lord, I would really appreciate that. Now, because of time, I'm not gonna call you in the front. I am not gonna make you stand up or anything. All I want is somebody to be there who says, that's my need. And I'm gonna ask you to raise up your hand so that I know somebody is there and I will pray for you. If you say that, that's me, Pastor, please consider me in your closing prayer. I wanna give my heart and my life to the Lord. If that's what you are, just lift up your hand so I can see you. I see one hand. God bless you. Okay, someone else? I see another hand, God bless you. I see a third hand, God bless you. God bless you. I see four hands, God bless you. One else? Someone else? Want to join those four people? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Closing your eyes, everybody. Can we pray this prayer for those people? Say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Change me forever. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins. Today I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed, if you raised your hand, that was your prayer. I'm going to ask you to pick up your responsibility as a new child of God. Come to church every day, read the Bible, and fellowship with some believers that even brought you. You begin to grow in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you in the last closing 60 seconds to invoke a blessing on your life. You know what I talked about. You need the favor of God in your life. You need to raise your prophetic voice and prophetic praise. You need to allow God to reshape you, and you need to ask God's blessing upon your life. So, would you put your hand on your head? This is something I'm going to ask you to do. And as you do it, I'm going to be praying for you at the same time. But this is not something you meditate. You cannot invoke through meditation. You invoke, you speak your mouth. The words of your mouth are uttered. Not as a prayer. Don't pray. Invoking is not prayer. Invoking is releasing. Invoking is declaring. Invoking is really accessing those things and downloading them. That's a better word. Downloading blessings from heaven through your words of declaration. So I'm going to ask you to do that. At the count of three, everyone invokes a blessing upon your life. In every area that you need today, God's presence is here to do that in Jesus' name. So one, two, three. Come on, lift your voice. Let's invoke a blessing on your life in Jesus' name. Father, we invoke a blessing on our hearts and on our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you for you promised us, Father in heaven, the Lord, whoever we bless shall be blessed. Today, we put our hands on our heads, invoking a blessing in Jesus' name. May the goodness of God be with us. May mercy and righteousness, power and grace be upon our lives in Jesus' name. May everything we touch be blessed in Jesus' name. May every place we go, Father in heaven, be the way that we should go, and that the blessings of God will find us on the way in the name of the Lord. Father, may our enemies, Father, scatter away from us in seven different directions in Jesus' name. May the Lord be our health. May the Lord heal my disease. May the Lord take away my pain. May the Lord take away my betrayal. May the Lord destroy all those that want to destroy me. May God rise up today on my behalf. May God arise on my behalf today. May God shine over me in Jesus' name. Oh God, we thank you for the blessings of God. We thank you for your power and your glory. We thank you for your goodness and glory. Father, let it be today that when we leave this place, we will go with these blessings. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we will harvest dreams and vision that you've given to us for the purposes of the kingdom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I bless you, God's people. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. I bless you with the healing touch of the Holy Spirit. May he who is weak be strong this day in Jesus' name. May he who is confused, may she who is troubled be comforted today in Jesus' name. May you find that the will of the Lord for your life in Jesus' name. May confusion, depression, oppression be put down under your feet in Jesus' name this day. May you see miracles, signs and wonders in your life in Jesus' name. May your children be blessed. May your sons be blessed. May your daughters be blessed. May your grandchildren be blessed in Jesus' name. May your work be blessed. May you be blessed financially. May you become outrageously successful as a child of God in Jesus' name. May God bless you. May God empower you. May God keep you. May God raise you up. May God defend you. May God protect you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe that, raise your hand, put them together and say amen. 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 I receive it, Lord. I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive the blessings. I am the blessed of the Lord. Say that with me. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the delivered of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise. Everybody say, I receive that. In Jesus' name. Do you? I believe that you're going to see great things. And Pastor said it right. This is a new season for many of you. Now, this is the plan B I told you. I knew that I was speaking in an American congregation. And I might not have enough time to do all the 9 points. So what I did, I brought a CD of this message because I preached it somewhere. So the CD of the whole 9 points are out there on the table. As you go out to pick up a child to sponsor, you can also take a CD. And all the proceeds from the CD still goes to the orphans and widows. God bless you, Pastor. Please take a seat for just a second. We are not dismissed yet.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just express our appreciation to Jackson, to the Lord for sending Jackson to us. How many of you walked in here and you said, God, I need to hear a word from you today? How many of you heard the word you needed to hear today? Amen. Amen. That was good preaching right there. That was good preaching. Thank you, Jackson. We're going to do just one more thing before we go today. I hope you'll stop by the table, and I hope you'll take a look at one of those kids and adopt one of those children. $60.